Welcome to Hold Both, Not Hold Plenty Healing. It's the Monday show.
Hi, Grandma White Dove.
Hi, Antonio. I'm glad you're there. You know what to say and do. What do we call the Monday? Is it the Monday wild card? Or?
Yes.
Okay, that's where we're at.
Yes, and Hi says a lot more stuff that I always forget. He says, simulcast something, welcome to the Midnight Wild Card Call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, Antonio. It's Debbie, California.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Hello. Hi. Is it just the three of us?
So
yes.
Far.
Yippee.
And BBS, they're here.
Oh, whoopsie. Okay.
That's okay. It's still yippee.
Hi, everybody. I'm BBS.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Boy.
Welcome to the non-professional part of the crew.
Yeah, this is the fun part.
Yeah.
BBS started early then tonight, huh?
Yes.
A little bit.
Okay.
Welcome to the Monday Wild Card Call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, it's Cecil from Seattle.
Hi, Cecil.
Hi, Cecil.
Hi, family.
Welcome to Monday Night Wild Card Call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hello, Antonio. It's Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi,
Jeannie. Hi,
Jeannie.
Hi,
everybody. Hi.
So we're missing our normal moderator, so we have our wonderful Antonio.
He's making all that ruckus.
Not Terry, she's not here yet.
Welcome to the Monday Wild Card Call. Would you like to say your name and location?
All right, Antonio, Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Hi,
Don. Hi, Don.
Welcome to the Monday Wild Card Call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Jill and Jerry from Rochester, Minnesota.
Hi, Jill.
Hi, Jill and Jerry.
Jerry.
If you had a Tom in there, then you'd have ice cream.
Oh, Jill and Jerry.
Yeah,
Tom
hi,
Jerry.
Dad.
Hi.
Oh, no, it's Ben.
Yeah.
Ben and Jerry. Yes.
Ben and Jerry.
Well, that was
yeah,
both.
Be ice cream.
Well, it could be Jack and Jill. How about that?
Yeah.
That was a brand
Jerry,
of water.
We're changing your name to Jack.
Your name's Jack now.
Hi, Jerry.
My dad says hi.
Hi. Hi. So, thing they had Jack and going up the hill.
Yeah.
Went down the down and Jill kept following behind.
That's not how it goes.
Did you find your missing piece there, Jill?
No. Nope. I sure didn't. Not yet.
Well, I wish you luck.
Yeah, the impression that I got wasn't right, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't give up.
Yeah, I got to try over.
Mm-hmm. I was telling Jill how I use the raw folks to help me find things when my wife loses them or hides them.
Mm-hmm.
I get a lot of help from them.
Welcome to the Monday Night Wild Card Call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Good evening, Antonio. It's Wanda from Canada.
Yeah,
Hi, Wanda.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Wanda.
I've also been using that protocol that Wynn was telling us about a few days ago about the deep breathing and sending a energy package up the raw material, raw group. And having them energize it and send it back.
How's that working?
Huh?
How's that working?
It works good for me. Working very good. I had to go to the dentist today and have a deep cleaning, and they had to desensitize my teeth. They had to give me shots of Novocaine. And I was already stressed from a really tough time with my wife today, and I was ready to climb the walls anyway. So anyway, I asked for help with that, and I got instant calming.
Cool. That's good.
De-stress.
I need to de-stress tonight. I've had a hard day.
Well, try that. It works. Did we get a new caller? Or somebody just...
Somebody pushing buttons. He's pushing my buttons.
Somebody pushing your buttons? That happened around me, too. If my wife didn't have dementia, I would think she was pushing my button. Well, I tell you, she's doing crazy things these days. Using the remote for the TV instead of a phone. Told her to get on the phone, and she grabbed the remote and started talking into it.
My dad has dementia, and that's what he does.
Yeah.
And then he goes, why can't I change the channel? Dad, that's the phone.
Well, she doesn't use it. She doesn't use a remote for, you know, for anything. Only our other daughter uses it. And she's never used it. Why she'd pick that up and use it for a phone, I don't know. And then she grabbed that and her daughter's cell phone and hid them both in the far end of the house in two different places.
Welcome to the Monday Night Wild Card call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jane.
Welcome to the Monday Night Wild Card call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hey, Antonio, it's Mary Eileen in Cincinnati. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Mary Eileen.
Hi, Mary Eileen.
Hey, Mary Eileen.
Anyway, I asked for help on that one, and they led me right to it.
Cool. I'm going to try that.
Well, they're dedicated to help us, so why not?
Yep.
Welcome to the Monday Night Wild Card call. Would you like to say your name and location? But only if you want to.
I've had them do that several times, and I've looked in places. I've had the impression to look in a certain place. I thought, well, I've already looked there, and they said, well, look again and look further, and I did and found it.
Welcome to the Monday Night Wild Card call. Would you like to say your name and location?
A positive greetings from Sedona. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Raiden.
Hi, Raiden. Positive greetings.
Hi.
We're missing the two main people.
They're probably still at happy hour.
Yeah. Is it a good evening, Raiden?
Good evening.
Is it a good one today?
Yes, all right.
Braden, you need to get on your horse and run up and wake up Lynn and Wynn and...
Welcome to the Monday Night Wild Card call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Dr. Art, Hampton, Virginia.
Hi, Dr.
Hi,
Art.
Hi, Dr.
Hey there.
Hey, Dr. Hart.
Hey.
Hey, Dr. Hart.
Hi there, sweetie.
Doc.
Hey.
Are you calling me sweetie?
Calling you sweetie. I think we should just stay friends, Dr. Hart.
Right. Sweet friends.
If the shoe fits, wear it.
Yeah, sure enough. Well, Helen's still alive. That's one thing, I guess. It's a good thing.
I don't know if that's good or not.
Yeah.
How's Dot doing?
Not well. Yeah. Going downhill.
Mine too.
Bad situation.
Welcome to the Monday Night Wild Card call. Would you like to say your name and location?
I don't need you. If you want to.
Who's making all that ruckus?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll mute myself. The tractor's running in the yard here, and I'm trying to open the barbecue.
I don't hear it. I don't hear a tractor.
Well, you just turned the tractor off.
What are we barbecuing?
I have to cook some T-bone steak tonight for my son and my husband.
Oh, darn.
Are they cutting hay, or what are they doing?
What are they doing?
Yeah.
The usual. Just separating cows and doing the chores.
Welcome to the Morning Night Wild Card call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Terry. Hi, everybody. Hi.
Positive greetings.
Hey, Braden. Thank you for calling. We were on it, but we were just a little slow here.
They're late than never.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or as I always say, better never late.
Right, yeah. I agree. Yeah. Yeah, Wynn's coming right away.
Well, good for him. Good for us.
Yeah.
We're missing Heist tonight.
Oh, no Heist?
Welcome to the Monday Night Wild Card call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Mr. Wild.
Hi, Mr. Wild.
Hi, Card.
And this is Card.
I thought I recognized that sniffle.
Now, Raiden, are you on the line?
Yes, he is.
Yes, Wynn.
Raiden was panicking out.
It was what?
But he thought we were going to afraid we were going to come. Afraid we weren't going to show up.
Well, yeah, a little concerned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, thank you for calling.
You got to remember, I am being really responsible on this stuff. And it's something I am continually getting used to. Terry is more responsible than me, but she's more forgetful.
Well, oh, you make I a don't good know.
Team. You make a good team.
Is Hyde
here? Down in here.
Not here. We're highless tonight.
Highless.
Highless. Mm-hmm.
Lynn went down there and he got my results from my blood. They took my blood today. I mean, Friday, and got the results today. And it's actually not too bad. I was really pleased. For a while, it would be like non-existent.
Wonderful.
Yes,
you're it. Yay.
Keep up the protocols, it would get better.
That's right, yeah.
Well, I started my day off with a deep cleaning in the dentist. That was fun.
A deep cleaning where?
Deep
at the
cleaning
dentist.
At the dentist, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did your dentist close for a while?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, mine did too.
Now they're open for special cases. And because I'm special, they let me in.
Now, I have something really exciting to announce.
Okay. What is that?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, all right.
Oh, come on. Come on, Lynn.
Yeah, I already probably told them.
About you're the one blood? That told me? No.
What?
You told us about her blood report.
Uh-huh.
Is that what you're going to tell us?
No.
Oh, good.
Well, I have no idea.
Oh, yes, you do. You're just not thinking of it. But I think I'll share this when I start the recording, okay?
Well, I know what it is. Go ahead.
The recording has started.
This is June 22nd, 2020. Lynn and Terry in Sedona, Arizona, and our Monday night wild card night. And let's see, who is on the line? I see Debbie Dolphin, Don. Who's in Greenville, Idaho?
Gamma White Dove.
What's that?
Gamma White Dove. Gamma White Dove.
Oh, yeah, White Dove. Because... Okay. And then Jane and Jill with her dad and Jeannie.
And her friend.
And her friend and Juliet. Hi, Juliet. You don't have to say anything. So... Well, everybody knows I'm here because I'm talking, right? Giggles. Wanda. Hi, Wanda.
Hi, Helen.
Wanda, have you figured out what to do with your health yet?
No. I have doctor's appointment tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Send me an email with all the...
I've been cutting out a bunch of different things constantly in my life for the past 2 months.
Hmm. Send me an email with all the things wrong with you, okay?
I've had lots of different operations and conditions and so on in my life, and then, you know...
Don't tell me now. Don't tell me now.
They all play havoc in your body, you know?
Yeah. Send me an email.
Okay. I'll wait till after I see the doctor there tomorrow, and then I'll send you an email.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Find out what your white blood count is.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yesterday... I was reading a book, or thumbing through it, Okay? And...
Thank you, guys.
Oh, you're welcome. Later in the evening, the person that wrote the book started talking to me through Terry. And it was Carla.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we talked a while. We talked a while, and I said, "Well, why don't you come into our Sunday call, and you can be my other side co-host." So she's thinking about it.
Cool.
Now, I'm never completely sure if somebody is who they say they are. So I'm going to probably have another conversation. But it sure felt like her. Felt like her energy. And
yeah,
talked
it
like
felt
her.
Like it. Yeah.
Yeah. And every time this kind of thing happens with Terry, it usually checks out. And, you know, it's very interesting because as I was reading the book, I could feel her energy. And I don't think that's unusual, but she could feel me feeling her energy. We had that happen one other time where I was reading a book and I ended up talking to the channeled source in that book through Terry.
Who was the channeled source?
Seth.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was really fascinating.
You guys know who Seth is?
I just know.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
Yeah.
So tell him what he said.
What did he say? I don't remember.
Yes, please.
Well, it was really short. He was in the middle of something, but he came in anyway, and he couldn't stay very long, but he said, you ask him a question, and you said, you know, what, like, is the difference between you and him and me? Like, what's the differences between Seth and Wynn and Terry? And he said, you are more anchored and stuck in different stuff that happens than him. He can, and I was worse than you, and
he said you were worse than me.
Yeah, about getting stuck into things. And he said that was the main difference because he didn't get stuck in situations that, you know, like he just could move in and out of them gracefully. And then he excused himself when he left.
Mm-hmm. I think we talked to him again after that, though, didn't we?
I didn't. I don't remember talking after.
He might have come through Daphne. You know.
That could be. That could be.
Yeah. I mean, if I told Daphne about something, suddenly she would be channeling it, you know?
Right, yeah. I know.
All right. I'm gonna do a replay of something. Now, I'm kind of in bed because I went out and got Terry food, and
he got my blood results.
And I got her blood results. So I like to pick a replay, so, but I'm now I'm going to pick it while I'm on the air. So let me try this one and see what it is.
Did we get the recording going?
We did. Thank you. Thank you for remembering. Let me just double check, okay? Yes, we're recording. And Cecil, you are such a good anchor. Do you know that?
Well, thank you.
I feel like you're like my father, except I like you.
Well, at least I didn't try to kill you.
You didn't try to kill me, and you see what's good about me, okay?
Yeah. Right. And give you credit for it.
And you give me credit for it, right. Okay, here we go. Of course, I don't know what date today is. What's today's
date?
The 9th. December 9th. December 9th, Monday. And...
What, June 22?
This is a replay. Tonight, 2019, thank you.
June 22, not December
9th. Winfrey
and Sedona.
No, he's doing a
replay. Our Monday night.
Oh, okay.
Wild card night. And we do a lot of calls every week because things that created the universe. And they act to grasp their criteria, okay? And happy birthday. I'm still looking for what I'm going to play here. I sound like on that call is a bit worse than I do on this call. Okay? I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. So let me try it. Here's that old call on crop circles. If you're listening on BBS and there's dead space, don't worry about it because more happens in the dead space than happens in the live space once you figure it out. Okay, let's try this one here. Some of these calls are absolute classics, and I like to look up classic calls.
Okay, this is the 28th, correct? Did you say
yep,
the 28th,
yes.
Charlotte? Yeah. This is January 28th, 2012. When in Arizona...
When you've got the wrong year, sir. It's 2013.
Oh, well, I got it.
That's a day, right?
From Arizona. What's the digit here?
You're fading out, Graham.
We talk about the veil of forgetting. And at least I have found it to be true.
How do I? I'm muted.
Okay.
You know the great thing about these new energies is that they're very pliable.
Now you know what? There's Carla. I'm glad I picked Carla. Okay, because we were talking about her. So let's see what we talked about.
Pliable. They're very like permeable. You know the. We talk about the veil of forgetting, and at least I have found it to be true lately that I sure have had a lot of catalysts lately, but the more you practice seeing a positive, construe it positively, the more positive things you see. It's like, I think if you chose to construe it negatively, then you would start to see more negative things. It's a very subjective universe right now, more so than
muted.
That's what I've experienced about the shift, is that I am more able to get to my affirmations and to get to the heart of who I am. And, you know, I am as I am, and I can get there and make the affirmations that have to do with very deep things like being healed. And I just affirm that I'm ready to be healed, and I would be glad to be healed, and I intend to be healed. And I say those two or three times, and I get stronger. And then I go ahead and deal with what's happening to me, which is usually much more on the surface and not apparently having to do with a deeper lesson. But it seems like there's so much on the surface that just roils the water and confuses you unless you are working to construe catalyst to a positive way. So as Terry said, to see the reason for stuff, you know, where did it come from? Why did it happen? You know, I have things happening to me right now that are so odd. It's just plain odd. And I think to myself, well, this feels like almost an attack. But it's really not. This person has nothing but goodness in his heart. He's a little bit on the naive side, shall we say, and he's plunging ahead regardless of other people's plans and so forth and so on. And you could say he wasn't being very considerate, okay? But how do I construe that? Do I construe that as, oh, my heavens, my plans are going to get mixed up? Or do I construe it to, I've seen how everything always works out. It isn't it going to be great to see how this works out? And just leave it there, because I can't do anything more with it than that. But it's construing it in a positive way. And that means that the next time something happens, I'll have even more chances of seeing it in a positive sense. That's sort of how I've been working with the shift in energies. There's a lot more information coming around, but it's not necessarily clear on the surface. So if you know what your incarnational lessons are, you know, you can always just drop everything, go and do a little deep work real quick, and then get back on the surface and deal with what's happening with the people that are happening to you and so forth and so on. It's sort of a dance, you know. It's a dancing with the catalyst.
Dancing with the catalyst.
Yeah.
All right. And let's see if Daphne, you know, Daphne uses the word ascension symptoms. Except, you know, when I spoke to Carla earlier, she and I have both the same prejudice about the word ascension. Even though ascension was used particularly at the beginning of the work I was doing with Daphne, and even though it was used with David Wilcock, where his website was called Ascension 2000 when he first put himself on the map. And in his website, his original website, he was saying there's this going to be this great event that's going to happen in the year 2000, and that all of humanity was going to move to a new level. Now, for whatever David does right, even then, that didn't make sense to me. You know, there's a lot of people that are saying that, and it is a nice and hopeful image that all of us move to a new level. But the question that I would ask myself is, how does that honor free will? Because many people may not want to move to another level. They're just happy in where they're at, and they want to keep doing the patterns they're doing. And then I asked questions about that, and I asked about ascension.
Well, you know, when this is Daphne speaking, I think people do have free will, absolutely. I think what David was talking about is that the Earth herself, she's decided to ascend, and in fact, she did. You know, all the information that I've been gathering for the past few months, Gaia is definitely in 5D right now. And we have a choice whether we as individuals will resonate and calibrate our own frequencies with that 5D and start living the unity consciousness or not. And depending on our own individual choices and also on our karmic template, our karmic track, we'll experience life supposedly accordingly. I mean, this is kind of my own experiential take on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think free will is definitely at play. Supposedly, if you look at the kind of astrological and astronomical divine timing of everything, the more that you hang on to those old dualistic paradigms, the more that you hang on to hierarchy, the more you hang on to kind of the material foundations, the old 3D foundations, the more, you know, as we head into 2015, 2017, 2020, you will find your foundations rock to the core, because the frequencies of Earth are no longer resonating in a way that support those old dualistic structures. And I just know from my own experience, you know, in the body, you know, I've got this heavy-duty Capricorn moon. I've got a, I guess I've got a past life track that's, you know, it's all wrapped up with, like, old foundations of the United States, Massachusetts, Ivy League schools, all that old stuff. It's not on a psychological level. It must be in my track, in my template, because on a physical level, I know that I'm doing work with 1D right now, the mineral kingdom, and it is really hard. It is really hard. I feel that I'm doing grid opening work, grid anchoring work, working with shifting stuff down in New Zealand, down in Australia, Europe the last few days. And this is really physically, you know, my spirits are good. I feel happy. I'm really wonderful to connect with everybody on this line. But physically, my body's, I mean, I feel like I'm being terrorized. This is real, and it's not a matter of not cooperating with it, because I am in every way that I know how. But I think there are things happening for some of us. I also think that different light workers, different path pavers, different star seeds have different contracts. They have different divine contracts. And depending where you are geographically, depending, you know, who you're connected in with, depending, you know, what templates you're ushering in, a lot of us are anchors. A lot of us, there's a woman, Denise LaFay, who works with a lot of Lisa Renee's people. And she basically says that we are density transmuters. You know, certain people have made contracts to transmute density. And I can feel that in my own kind of calibration and in my own place. It's like I go into places and I transmute. And it's, you know, I drive wind crazy because I basically, you know, chew his ear off and I bitch. And I go, I'm tired. You know, this is hard work. and he goes, well, what are you doing? You're just sitting there. I go, well, it might look like I'm just sitting here, but, you know. So, you know, it's like Carla said, dancing with the catalyst. I love it. I love it. You know, we all have different dances. I mean, I really envy Terry. Terry can go into places and, like, nothing phases her. You know, she can keep up her energy, and she's really consistent, and she can just keep on going. And I go, God love her. You know, I just so anyway, I guess, you know, we're all being served up a different kind of pizza. You know, so whatever.
Well, you know what? I think I told you. I don't know.
Just a side note there. That happens, in case you don't know. That was Daphne talking, and this was a group call we had with Carla, Terry,
I'm on the
Daphne, and myself.
I'm about 20 miles from Sedona in a little small town called Camp Verde, of about 10,000 people. And I always liked this little town. It's like one of those places that when you were young and you thought when you grew up America would be a certain way, this town is kind of like that. It's like everyone knows each other and they're friendly and they're really cool. So I went into Denny's last night, and I mean, there were like four or five waitresses there. And I had never seen so many waitresses that were like beaming, having fun. They were all like, I hope they're not listening now.
Nobody had sore feet, huh? And two kids.
Nobody had sore feet. And they were like genuinely radiant, and they were also bouncing off of each other. And it's like I said, these guys understand how to work energy. And they don't know anything about the chef. They don't know anything about anything except they've learned to share energy in Denny's. It was like it was a group of wanderers that had come together. And they don't know they're wanderers. And they don't even know anything metaphysical. And yet they were doing it. And I started talking to them. And they immediately all loved me. I mean, they were around the table. And, you know, I was telling them about themselves. And it was fun.
You can just
okay?
see this.
Yeah. I know Terry has seen me
that
do this many
times. Reminds me of St. Francis with the birds, you know.
Yeah. Terry has seen me many times go into a restaurant, and there really are a lot of wanderers out there. There really are a lot of crystal children, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when I see one and we catch a little smile, I look at them and I say, did you know you're from another dimension? And do you know, they love it when I say that. Some part of them knows. I remember when I used to go to college in Berkeley, I used to sit on the steps of the student union, and I was totally anonymous. And I kept thinking, don't these people know who I am? And it wasn't exactly like an ego thing. It wasn't an ego thing. It was like I was radiating my energy into that whole plaza. And I didn't even know the vocabulary for that at that time. I say radiating energy, but I didn't know the vocabulary. I was doing that. And I said, don't these people know who I am? When is somebody going to sit down and discover me? Now, if I sat down with me and I said, did you know you're from another dimension? Whoever would have said that would have had my rapt attention. Mm. Now, the thing is, you got to say it with the right energy. If you just go around and say it with the wrong energy, don't experiment in another town besides your town, okay? because you don't want to be branded as a wacko. But it's a fun way to open up the door to a conversation, particularly with young people. Older people, even if they are wanderers, they probably have a harder time. But young people love it. They love it when somebody says, and you have to be authentic. You have to look at them. They got to have that wild look, that deep look. And but, you know, we started talking about ascension symptoms. And Daphne uses the word ascension. And the reason I don't like to use the word is because it sounds like you're going to disappear from this realm and that there's going to be a rapture. And that may be true, and when that happens, I will be very happy to participate in it. But when I've asked questions about that in our channelings, they said, and this makes sense to me, the majority of people are not going to qualify for that kind of experience because in order to qualify, all your chakras have to be open
slightly more than half. And, you know, the way this works is somehow there's a part of you in the astral or higher that pulls your body through, and most people are not going to qualify for that. But many people will qualify for what they called, our sources called, an astral ascension, which meant you would die, a normal death or an abnormal death. But when you died, if your heart chakra was open slightly more than half, you would then graduate this realm. You would be worked on the other side by angels, angelic beings, and that would cause you not to have to come back to the 3D realm. So that is my story, and I don't like to use the word ascension because it's too much of a buzzword, and a lot of New Age people are using it, and I don't think they ever really explain what they mean, because the connotation of the word ascension, ascend, is, to me, that you disappear from this realm and you end up somewhere else. And then when you say that, it kind of hooks people because they say, well, if he's a spiritual person, he's talking about ascension, I want to make sure that I don't miss that train. But nonetheless, whatever you call it, whether you call it graduation, ascension, transitioning, everyone agrees on one thing, most everyone, and that is that there is another dimension that's a different level than this one, and some people, when they leave this realm, are going to end up in a higher dimension. Now, when you read, I think it's in the raw material, it's really not one size fits all. It's like not everyone ends up in 4D Earth or 5D Earth or 6D Earth or whatever.
Right.
We can go to where the furthest reach that our energy can reach to. It would be like how much gas is in your car. You have enough gas to go 400 miles, and you don't have to go 400 miles. You might only go 100 miles because you think you can do more service there. You can help people. You see, this is free will. So when you're on the other side and you leave this realm, on some level, you can make a decision. If you have enough gas for 400, like
you want to know what the Ra described this as? See,
yeah,
they call it the steps of light, Wynn. And
steps
it's not
light.
A matter of choosing where you're going to be of service. It's a simple walk into the sunlight. Every step is a little bit further along the line of density. And at a point which is not expressed, you move from third density third density to fourth density. You're using a slightly different word, but it means the same thing. Dimension, density are used interchangeably. So people are just walking into the sunlight. It gets a little bit more sunny. The light is a little bit more intense with every step. And angels guard this process so that you can't fall off the edge of the step. You can't make a misstep. You got all the time in the world. So you're walking up these steps of light. And there's a point at which it stops feeling good. It starts feeling like, gosh, this is going to burn me. I don't really want to go any further. And that's where you're most comfortable. That's where you've gotten to in this incarnation. That's how much light you've learned to use comfortably. And maybe it's in third density. Maybe it's in fourth density. But wherever you stop and wherever you're comfortable, that is where you've chosen your next incarnation. And if it's in fourth density, if it's across the line, you've graduated. If it's still in third density, you will go to another planet that is it's just starting third density, and you'll go through a lot of incarnations in third density, just like you have already done, still learning to make that choice. That's what the Ra the Ra sessions say. That's the nature of graduation. It's nothing punishing, no judgment whatsoever, and you make the choice. You choose just exactly how much light feels good to you, and wherever you stop, whether it's third, fourth, fifth, sixth, that is where you have the right to be from then on. And a lot of wanderers that were sixth density wanderers, I would not be surprised if they didn't just walk right back into sixth density.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 'cause they really enjoy the higher vibrations of light. And this third density light has always felt off to them. So they've spent a lot of time in higher densities in meditation.
You know, when people hear this, most everyone says, I want to go to as high as I can get. Everyone says that in their mind. I want to get up there. And they want to get up there because it sounds like a prize. It sounds like a gift. But
and yet what you really want to do is be comfortable.
Yeah, and they also don't want to let go. They don't want to let go of attachment in this realm. And it's kind of funny to watch because somebody will say they want to graduate, and then they'll be saying, I'm so worried about my son. What am I going to do about my son? He's doing drugs. Who's going to be there for him? That's exactly what will keep you in this realm, okay? It's like, in an unconditional way, you hold the space for somebody, but you don't let them pull you out of the higher flow with sympathy or worry. It's just a very fine line to care, but to be detached. Because all the things you hold on to, even, I don't know if you can relate to this, Carla, but there's even holding on to failure, the fear of success. Because if you got really successful, all your friends would be jealous of you. And you like those people and you don't want them to be jealous. This goes on a subconscious level. So people are always talking about their plans and what they're doing to the very people that would be jealous. And how can you be successful if you're attached to all these friends that are jealous? And can you be honest enough to look at them? And can you be honest enough to say, if you were really successful, would they still be your friend? Would you be their friend? And oftentimes, people hold certain kinds of friendships in place because of fear. Because if they didn't love me, nobody would. And so you lock yourself in, is what I'm trying to say. You lock yourself into these lower realms by those thoughts. And you wonder, and you pray, God, I want to get out of here, and yet you won't let go of those things.
Yeah, I think there's a tremendous skill and goodness in practicing. It isn't a detachment where you don't care. It's a detachment where you respond to the need by knowing that all is well, by affirming the lack of strength of whatever catalyst it is that is holding your son down. If it's drugs, you spend time simply affirming that there is no power in drugs. You spend time affirming that your child is completely worthy of being able to realize that there is no power in drugs. And so you do these affirmations, and instead of worrying, you see, you know, you spend time holding the light where the healing takes place. This is the way some healers work all the time, is they simply sit there and they know the truth, and they know it with such clarity that they are able to transfer that knowledge to the person, and suddenly the drugs have no power. And they're able to walk away. They're able to be rehabbed.
You're not talking about pharmaceutical drugs, right? You're talking about
pharmaceuticals or alcohol or whatever. It's even, you can even be addicted to an idea. You can be addicted to so many different things, physical, emotional. Addiction is, you know, that which is binding you, and you're needing to be free of that. So addiction takes many forms. But
mm-hmm.
what you were talking about was being held back because you're worried about your son, right?
Right.
So I was saying that instead of spending time worrying, you spend the time on that, but you spend the time positively making these affirmations on behalf of your son, knowing that all is well, knowing that healing is very real, knowing that the substance abuse, knowing that the substance that is being abused has no power.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way Christian Science practitioners work, I believe. They simply sit there and they spend time with the client, and they know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. There's no preaching, there's no judgment, and there's actually nothing much in the physical at all. And yet
mm-hmm.
healings have taken place for, you know, a century and more.
Even just going into a meditation.
Yes.
Now, every Sunday we do this, Carla, where we tap into the power of group energy, and we create. And, you know, it kind of blows me away that we do this because, you know, most people do it in a room and people where their energies are together. We have people all over the world, and I don't see them. And I get so many emails because the power of invocation, the power of intention,
yes.
and everyone agrees, trust me, and we move into a space that's really expanded. That people can feel, and oftentimes I get emails of people that have had phenomena, like this computer suddenly changed color in the middle of it, you know?
Wow.
I mean, and then Terry is talking, and they say, yes, that was us, and you can feel us, and we're beaming into your realm, and it's like moving into the experience of the law of one as a reality, not as an idea, and not as a mental idea, but where you can feel other people's energies. And this is a tricky thing, because when you start feeling energies of things that are invisible, you have to be sure that you have a lot of protection around that, and a lot of love to start with, so you don't get anything negative in the mix, because it will ride in on those energies, on distortions in your field. But we do it, and when I first started doing it, I was afraid that would happen, and it didn't. By and large, it didn't happen. And it's an amazing experience. So when that group energy is established, you can project that energy and surround someone you care about. And I've come to the conclusion, you're not just saying a prayer, you're actually including them in the love. And occasionally I get an email, like I put my relationship with my son in the light, and he called me the next day, and we hadn't talked for 3 months. So, you know, I'm doing this by learning and watching and seeing over and over again the amazing results it has when you do it. And then it becomes a reference point. It's like a new skill, how to become one with everything. And, you know, you do it one time on a conference call, and you do it a second time, and before you know it, the call is over, but the energy is still going, and you're projecting that out, okay?
You know, it comes to me, Wynn, what Daphne was talking about earlier. It would be great if we could do some conference calls for planet Earth, you know, because there are different places where the grid, it's a feminine grid, and it doesn't just come down plunk into the Earth like the old masculine grid. This is a newer grid, and it's more hovering over the earth in a way, but it also needs to be anchored into the earth. And there are different grids for different parts of the earth. Wouldn't it be great if we could, like,
Australia one time
and take Europe another time? And I don't know. I think it'd be great if we could focus, you know, do a little.
Okay. There she is. And here we are with Whole Planet Healing and doing that. And I'm going to end that there. And we'll keep you posted on talking to Carla. Okay? So on that note, Whole Planet Healing.
Unmuted.
Thank you from Seattle.
Thank you.
We'll see you in a moment. Thank you all.
Thank you.
This session is no longer being recorded.